It's an amazing day in global football when even the Fox reporters have to say that this was a brilliant day in which politics and soccer were mixed. Indeed, today in which the U.S. women's national team has repeated as the World Cup champions represents something of an apex for us at the People's Game. Indeed, where we have a team that has spoken out in solidarity against the abominable Orange Menace, and today they defeated another Orange Menace. Quite a symbolic gesture. The U.S. women's national team, led by their captain and Golden Boot winner and Golden Ball winner, Megan Rapinoe. Quite a day, quite a morning for those of us stateside. What do you think, Melissa Figueroa?
That was an amazing game. First of all, you know, of course, not only is Megan Rapinoe the Golden Ball, the Golden Boot winner, and bringing home the fourth U.S. Women's National Team Championship, she is also apparently the President of the United States. So, you know, all hail to the Chief, President Rapinoe, and the Vice President, Rose Lavelle. It was a thrilling game from start to finish, but the U.S. Women's National Team proved that they were easily the best team in the world. I'm very, very proud of these, of not necessarily the, you know, USA, USA type of thing, but for these 23 amazing women who, you know, fought on and kicked butt despite the government, despite having to fight for their pay and literally sue the U.S. Soccer Federation for their pay, from, you know, the rampant sexism in sports all around, and of course the jabs of a proto-fascist baby president, or the Orange Menace, as you said. You know, I think despite everything that the USA as a state entity is going towards, these women showed what, you know, the real power of the people can achieve, by just, you know, being unapologetically themselves and beating the odds.
Yeah, and I do have to say this was really a phenomenal, just on the back to the playing field and just the playing field, a phenomenal victory when you think about what the United States had to achieve to win the World Cup, to repeat for the first time in their history. And as I think I said in our last installment, this is really one of the great sides in global sports history, the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team. They've now won four championships. And, you know, it took a long time.
And two back-to-back championships
Two back-to-back championships, which are really remarkable, because when they won the first two, the sort of built-in advantage that the United States had with the development of women's soccer at the college level, thanks to Title IX rulings, they were beating teams and they were, you know, going into tournaments as the prohibitive favorites. And then a few European countries caught up. And now we can really see that Japan and a number of European countries have caught up to really be, you know, stand, you know, at the same level of U.S. women's soccer. And so this was an incredible achievement in that they went into this tournament, the last tournament having been won on the Western Hemisphere. And we see from the men's World Cup history, in its longer history, that there's been this divide between winners from the Western Hemisphere when the tournament is hosted in the Western Hemisphere, flipping back over, and European sides winning when it's hosted in Europe. Of course, Japan actually won the last time it was hosted in Europe, so touche to my idea there. But again, they had to defeat the other co-tournament favorite, the home side France, in the quarterfinals, an extremely, you know, just strong and veteran English team in the semifinals, and then defeat the European championships in a World Cup final in Europe in the final. And, you know, the Dutch really showed their mettle today. They had, by a lot of measures, struggled in some of the early rounds, but they never were behind. And you could sort of see the narrative playing out at halftime. Some great saves by their goaltender in the first half. And they didn't have many opportunities, but it was tied at halftime. They had withstood the USA's tremendous start that they always throw at every team, and then a whole bunch of pressure late in the first half from the United States. It was tied, and you could see the narrative playing out of the Dutch team, you know, holding off, getting their one chance and taking it. But no, the United States wore them down. You did have a penalty kick that broke the tie, but I really think it was the product of the fatigue of the Dutch defense with the unrelenting attacks of the U.S. women's offense. And Holland lost, the USA won, and what an achievement for any sporting side to win. I mean, rarely in these global tournaments do you have a team have to go right through the teeth of the hardest line of opponents and end up triumphant, and they achieved that.
Absolutely. You know, let's also give props to the Netherlands for some really good, goalkeeping especially. You know, the Golden Glove went to Sari van Veenendaal, who made probably two or three incredible saves during that first half, without which the U.S. would have easily been up 5-0. The corner kick that almost saw the ball kind of dribble so close to the line, that was an amazing instinct on her behalf, and definitely deserving of the Golden Glove. Just like in the Men's World Cup, I'm always a fan of the goalkeepers, and there was some fantastic goalkeeping going on throughout this whole tournament. But what can you say? You know, there's the as I was saying in the beginning, at the beginning of this tournament, that the U.S. women's national team is probably as close to a perfectly dialed in sports team as you can get. And like you said, is probably one of the great teams in global sports history.
Yeah, indeed. And again, time around, we had the last few times, you had Abby Wambach as a iconic older player. This time you had Carly Lloyd coming in off the bench. The generational turnover, the continuation of talent. And, Alex Morgan now in her prime holding the front line, Megan Rapinoe. Just an absolutely brilliant veteran soccer player. I do think that she didn't show the same spark and speed down the left side that she did before she had the hamstring injury that kept her out of the semifinals. But again, two of the great scoring opportunities for the USA in the first half were from very sharp, long balls to Megan Rapinoe. She trapped them beautifully, continued down the line and crossed them into the center. Both of those ended up with incredible saves from the Dutch goaltender. Alex Morgan with an incredible left-footed shot that required an amazing save from the goaltender. It should be said that once it was 2-0, it really could have been 5-0 because the USA had a slew of breakaways and near breakaways. Crystal Dunn. Yeah. With a beautiful
who is not talked about nearly enough. I mean, she is somebody who was trained as a forward, who played as a forward for most of her early career, then was put on fullback, but also was right up there for every offensive move. I mean, she was has proved to be an incredible all-around asset.
Yeah, and she was definitely in on a breakaway. She could have just pushed a pass over to Morgan, who would have tapped it in, but there was no problem. She was in on goalie alone, big goalie, and fortunately she didn't slot it in either side of the corner. And there were a few of other of those where Tobin Heath had a couple of breakaways then. There were just multiple opportunities. Alex Morgan was in alone on goal, so it really could have piled up there. But again, even there, the Dutch goaltender was fantastic. You know, the Dutch had a bunch of great players. They had Martens, who was the Ballon d'Or winner in 2017, the year that the Netherlands won the European Championship. She was a little hobbled by a toe injury, but she was out there. Their striker, number 9, is already the national team. Niedema, the all-time leading goal scorer, and she's like 22 or 23. So they got an incredible future out ahead of them, and they have a number of great players. But going through the U.S. team, of course, Rose Lavelle, and you and I were talking about this, the USA has a person who's played a lot of career central defense sharing the midfield with Rose Lavelle. My sense is because Rose Lavelle is just an absolute offensive phenomenon. You know, she hustles on defense, gets in good placement, but isn't a really strong presence in midfield. So she's a classic 10. Carly Lloyd still wears the jersey.
I'm pretty convinced that Rose Lavelle has a bionic left foot.
Yeah, Rose Lavelle has a sublime left foot, right foot. Just her on-ball soccer skills are at the level of anybody in the world. I mean, she just has unbelievable touch on her passes. She does have a bionic left foot, and of course, she scored the spectacular goal of the final, much as Carly Lloyd did last time. And she's young. You know, she really sort of came out of nowhere, not a program Wisconsin that had been a real powerhouse previously. And she made the team just because, again, the talent scouts recognized somebody with an absolutely magical control of the ball. And it's going to be unbelievable to watch her in the years going forward. And I think she's established herself as a true American superstar. It was great to see the other woman come on at halftime with an injury on the right fullback position. Ali, who had spoken out in support of Megan Rapinoe and against Donald Trump, she was on the field for the whole second half when the USA won the game. And again, the central defense, the USA defense, it didn't really even crack or break at all today. It was rock solid and just an all-around tremendous performance by the team. And it's an incredible team, and I'll miss being able to spend the time in the coming days with their game as I've been able to these past few weeks. It's been an utter delight. And as you said, this is a perfect, perfect sports team for this moment in American history.
Absolutely. All 23. Again, the depth of this team as well, the fact that, you know, Rapinoe, even playing while injured, was subbed out by Kristen Press, who, of course, had scored that spectacular goal in the semifinal. You also had, you know, again, going back to the politics of this as well. I mean, you know, it's if all of the horrific things happening in our government represents kind of the worst of this nation, the U.S. women's national team absolutely represents the best and the future of our nation. You know, this game was distinguished by various things. Number one, it was only the second match in FIFA Women's World Cup history that had two teams headed by two women coaches that went into the final. Of course, Jill Ellis being on the women's national team when they first won the cup in 1999. Not only that, both of these teams, the U.S. and the Netherlands, had five out LGBT players, either lesbian or bisexual, in both teams. And so, you know, again, this is, as Rapinoe said, it was a day to be gay and fabulous. And also, that, you know, and incredibly, you know, of course, the issue that had been hanging over the tournament, all tournament, for multiple women's federations was the issue of equal pay, the issue of pay, you know, in some of the cases, I believe it was the Nigeria women's team that had been fighting to get paid at all. And, of course, the U.S. women's national team is still in a lawsuit with the U.S. Soccer Federation over equal pay. But, you know, one of the really seminal moments of the post-game was when the head of FIFA, Infantino, stepped out onto the pitch to sort of give his honors, and the entire stadium broke out in a deafening chant of equal pay, equal pay. So, you know, again, this is the seamless, you know, it's the seamless melding of wonderful, thrilling sports and very, very precious political issues, of course, that animates us as the people's game. And this was truly a people's game final.
It was. It's fantastic. You know, and it's funny, as much as we in the people's game try to bring, shed a light on elements of the game that don't usually get spoken about by, you know, the sports media. This time, you know, the politics were so front and center. It just was glorious to see that have to be referred to in the summary of the game by the Fox Sports people who were covering it, though Alexei Lalas, with his tail rightly between his legs, didn't say a thing in that regard, at least not that I heard. And also, I just want to say, too, of course, one of the things that you should follow People's Game on our social media, because, you know, just the beauty of having Megan Rapinoe score the game-winning goal. And then as she goes off to the sideline, the team is behind her. But you can sort of sense that the team isn't going to jump on her until she strikes the Megan Rapinoe pose. And no, I have no capacity with my words right now to, you know, just describe anything as marvelous as that fantastic pose and all that it means and all that it must mean for a person who is speaking out against the President of the United States and is just absolutely proudly herself 100% oppositional in her politics towards the presidency of the United States and all that's bad in American politics, in solidarity with folks like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and she just stands there in full glory, so proud. And I got to say, it's a marvelous, marvelous pose she strikes. I mean, it's just marvelous the way the one hand rides above the other.
It's statue-worthy, shall we say. And, of course, not minutes after she began to strike that pose, people started photoshopping her in as the Statue of Liberty. She was put on the $100 bill. Mm-hmm. She was, put in front of the eagle that was attacking Trump. Everyone started, of course, photoshopping that pose into various major diplomatic events and everything. I mean, again, it's different, from, say, the Ronaldo pose or other sort of celebrations. Her outstretched arms are not just about herself, but sort of spreading her arms to hug the world, shall we say, and the world is hugging her back, and that's awesome. And now that you've mentioned Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, there's a great tweet in which Ocasio-Cortez responds to the equal pay calls for equal pay by saying, "We can do better than equal pay. Now it's time to pay them double."
Oh, absolutely. And, it's shameful, particularly in the context of the U.S. soccer national teams, that one is getting paid much less than the other, given that one is great and the other, how do you say, sucks?
losing to Trinidad and Tobago
And
not making the World Cup?
Oh, boy. Yeah, just absolutely atrocious. And again, the solidarity among the team, and you see it across the women's game, of course. Incredible teamwork on display by multiple sides across this tournament, but none, any more so than the United States. And of course, doing so, and of course, they got flack. They got flack for some of their celebrations. Of course, they got a lot of flack for the degree to which they celebrated the goals against Thailand. And
yes, but, and also Alex Morgan's tea sipping sort of celebration at England, which apparently inflamed Piers Morgan to no end.
Well, it's always good to do that to Piers Morgan, and
it's so good to do that to Piers Morgan.
It's also good for us who, in our Revolutionary War, besides conquering the airports at the time, we overthrew their oppressive yoke from across the pond. So yeah, glory be to her sipping of tea and co-opting of that national meme of our former oppressors. But again, and whatever that all amounted to, including even the celebrations in Thailand, if it contributed to the incredible team spirit and solidarity of this side, props to it. And that was so apparent and so there. Every one of the team members, when they all came down, including the players who never made the field, and they were all about to rush on before the final whistle, I mean, you could just see and feel the love amongst the team. And given all that they have represented over these past few weeks, it's really just a breath of fresh air for a country that needs one.
Absolutely. And they are, shall we say, the embodiment of everything we love about the people's game, with the camaraderie with each other. Again, their play on the field, as well as their, defiance, almost gleeful defiance. In the spirit, in the face of so much ugliness coming from our government, I would say, comparable to the old Brazil Socrates team in 1980. It's excellence against the darkness of mediocrity, shall we say?
Yeah, and it is.
In a time when we need some boost right now, right? This gives us exactly the boost we need. Not a fake jingoism, but a true celebration of the human spirit.
Oh, absolutely. So I think really alongside teams that we in the People's Game celebrate, like AS Livorno, all of the leftist teams around the world.
St. Pauli.
Yeah, St. Pauli. And going back all the way to the days of of Spartak Moscow during the Soviet Union. You know, the great, great people's sides, the revolutionary left people's sides. Well, you know, perhaps not revolutionary left here, but revolutionary with Alex Morgan's tea drinking and then Megan Rapinoe's stand against the most powerful person in the world. So, again, this is a side that really deserves its place and will going forward
on
our People's Games memes.
Yeah, and also demonstrating, again, that democracy and solidarity. Again, that's why I say it kind of reminds me of Socrates' Brazil in the midst of a dictatorship. You know, Socrates said that, you know, we will practice democracy on my team. We will practice solidarity on our team. And, you know, especially the way that the U.S. women's side, including former players like Hope Solo, have, you know, stood up in support of their sister, you know, who is defying, again, the, you know, one of the most powerful and feared, well, feared or ridiculed, shall we say, people in the world today, is, you know, also reminiscent of that, you know, that, again, there are certain ways a team could work in a, and that, you know, will help embody the kinds of values and the spirit that that is, again, trying to be erased in the minds of the people right now. And so, again, that's why I celebrate my president, Megan Rapinoe.
All hail Megan Rapinoe. And I suppose that's a great way for, again, another series of the People's Game to go out. You know, we here at the People's Game, during the Men's World Cup, we sort of look askew and yet are supportive broadly of the U.S. men's national team, understanding them as underdogs, understanding the growth of soccer in the United States is a force that can bring us into inclusion in this global family of global football, where the United States has been on the outside for so much of soccer history. You know, we look at the politics of the game. The next time, of course, we're going to reconvene will be in Qatar, which is going to be crazy. Obviously, there's going to be a lot. It's going to take place in the winter, and it's going to take place, I think, still in some indoor stadiums. And it's going to be global warming, of course. Who knows where that will be by 2022, but one expects, sadly, tragically, not only worse, but there's a strong possibility that governments across the world will still not be responding to the crisis. And all the corruption that has gone into the building of those stadiums and the labor exploitation involved there. And then we'll reconvene a year later for another Women's World Cup. But this time, much as last time, with the symbolic victory of France as a team that really just was a big spit in the face to the national front of Marie Le Pen and Papa Le Pen, a big gobby goober of spit right between the eyes, all those racist bastards. We once again have something of a People's Game celebration that we can continue with across the day as a team that has stood in opposition to the ethno-nationalist authoritarian president of the United States, openly so, and it's just a great moment for the U.S. women's national team, and for the true patriotism for those of us who are humanist internationalists. Mel.
I would say absolutely. Again, this is a victory that belongs to those of us who are not going to the bleeping White House. Let's just say that. It's a victory for these 23 amazing women who did it all and, you know, sort of demonstrated to us what human potential can be. And also for, again, the people, those of us who are fighting within this country, those of us who, you know, are rapid cycling between despair and defiance, that, you know, defiance and excellence can win the day. And so, again,
and they must win the day.
And we look forward to seeing them in the NWSL, by the way. If you liked what you saw, do support your local teams and, you know, show some support. So, and show the U.S. Soccer Federation that they, you know, they need to value, you know, these women's labor. They need to, you know, value the joy that they bring to us. And, yeah. we'll see him again in 4 years, I hope.
Melissa Figueroa, as always, it's been great for another cycle of the People's Game.
This is our fight song. Take back our rights.